"Tell me," Mission said, remembering the hours that had passed like eye blinks at her feet, the songs she sang while children slept. "Tell me about the old world." The old crow's eyes narrowed and settled on a dark corner of the room. Her lips, furrowed with wrinkles of time, parted, and a story began. A story Mission had heard 1,000 times before, but it never got old, visiting this land of the crow's imagination. And as the little ones skipped into the room and slipped into their tiny desks, they too fell silent and gathered around. Following along with the widest of eyes and the most open of minds, these tales of a world once beautiful and now fairly forgotten. Chapter 34. The stories Mrs. Crow made up were straight from the children's books. There were blue skies and lands of green, animals like dogs and cats, but bigger than people. Juvenile stuff. And yet, these fantastic tales of a better place left Mission angry at the world he lived in. As he left the up top behind and wound his way down, past the farms and the levels of his youth, he thought of this better world and was dismayed at the one he knew. The promise of an elsewhere highlighted the flaws of the familiar. He had gone off to be a porter, to fly away and be all that he wished. And now, what he wished was to be further away than this world would allow. These were dangerous thoughts. They reminded him of his mother and where she had been sent 17 years ago to the day. Past the farms, Mission noted a hint of something burning further down the silo. The air was hazy, and there was the bitter tinge of smoke on the back of his tongue. A trash pile, perhaps. Someone who didn't want to pay the fee to have it ported to recycling. Or someone who didn't think the silo would be around long enough for the need to recycle. It could be an accident, of course, but Mission doubted it. Nobody thought that way anymore. He could see it on the faces of those on the stairwell. He could see by the way belongings were clutched, children sheltered, that the future of the silo hung in the balance. Last night's fight seemed to prove it. Mission adjusted his pack and hurried down to the IT levels on 34. When he arrived, there was a crowd gathering on the landing. It was mostly boys his age or a little older, many that he recognized, a lot from the mids. Several stood with computers tucked under their arms, wires dangling, jostling with the throng. Mission picked his way through. Inside, he found a barrier that had been set up just beyond the door. Two men from security manned the temporary gate and allowed only crumpled IT workers through. "Delivery!" Mission shouted. He worked his way to the front, carefully extracting the note Mrs. Crow had written. "Delivery for Officer Jeffrey!" One of the security men took the note. Mission was pressed against the barrier by the crush behind him. A woman was waved through. She hurried toward the proper security gate leading into the main hall, smoothing her overalls with obvious relief. There were crowds of young men being given instructions in one corner of the wide hall. They stood to attention in neat rank and file, but their wide eyes gave away their obvious fear. "What the hell is going on?" Mission asked as the barrier was parted for him.
"What the hell isn't?" one of the security guards answered. "Power spike last night took out a load of computers. Every one of our techs is pulling a double. There's a fire down in mechanical or something and some kind of violence up on the farms. Did you get the wire?"
Mechanical.
That was a long way away to nose a fire. And word was out about last night's raid, making him self-conscious of the cut on his nose.
"What wire?" he asked.
The security guard pointed to the groups of boys. "We're hiring. New techs."
All Mission saw were young men, and the guy talking to them was with security, not IT.
The security guard handed the note back to Mission and pointed toward the main gate.
The woman from earlier was already beeping her way through, a large and familiar bald head swiveling to watch her ass as she headed down the hall.
Sir? He called out as he approached the gate.
Geoffrey turned his head, the deep wrinkles and folds of his flesh disappearing from his neck.
Hmm?
Oh. He snapped his fingers, trying to place the name.
Mission.
He wagged his finger.
That's right. You need to leave something with me, Porter?
He held out a palm, but seemed disinterested. Mission handed him the note.
Actually, I have orders from Mrs. Crowe to deliver something in person.
He pulled the sealed envelope with the crossed-out names from his courier pouch.
Just a letter, sir.
The old guard glanced at the envelope, then continued reading the note addressed to him.
Rodney isn't available.
He shook his head. I can't give you a time frame either. Could be weeks. You want to leave it with me? Again an outstretched palm, but this time with more interest.
Mission pulled the envelope back warily.
I can't. There's no way I can just hand it to him.
This is the Crow, man. If it were the mayor asking me, I'd say no problem.
Geoffrey smiled.
You were one of her boys, too?
Mission nodded. The head of security looked past him at a man approaching the gate with his ID out.
Mission stepped aside as the gentleman scanned his way through, nodding good morning to Geoffrey.
Tell you what, I'm taking Rodney his lunch in a little bit. When I do, you can come with me. Hand him the letter with me standing there, and I won't have to worry about the Crow nipping my hide later. How's that sound?
Mission smiled.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it. The officer pointed across the noisy entrance hall.
Why don't you grab yourself some water and hang in the conference room? There's some boys in there filling out paperwork.
Geoffrey looked Mission up and down.
In fact, why don't you fill out an application? We could use you.
I don't know much about computers, Mission said. Geoffrey shrugged, as if that were irrelevant.
Suit yourself. One of the lads will be relieving me in a little bit. I'll come get you.
Mission thanked him again. He crossed the large entrance hall, where neat columns and rows of young men listened to barked instructions. Another guard waved him inside the conference room, while holding out a sheet of paper and a shard of charcoal. Mission saw that the back of the paper was blank and took it with no plan for filling it out. Half a chit, right there, in usable paper. There were a few empty chairs around the wide table. He chose one. A number of boys scribbled with their charcoals on the pages, faces scrunched up in concentration. Mission sat with his back to the only window and placed his sack on the table, kept the letter in his hands. He slid the application inside his pack for future use and studied the Crow's letter for the first time. The envelope was old, but addressed only a handful of times. One edge was worn tissue thin, a small tear revealing a folded piece of paper inside. Peering more closely, Mission saw that it was pulp paper, probably made in the Crow's nest by one of her kids. Water and handfuls of torn paper blended up, pressed down on screens, and left overnight to dry.
Mission!
Someone at the table hissed. He looked up to see Bradley sitting across from him. The fellow porter had his blue chief tied around his bicep. Mission had thought he was running a regular route in the down deep.
You applying?
Bradley hissed. One of the other boys coughed into his fist as if he were asking for quiet. It looked as though Bradley was already done with his application. Mission shook his head. There was a knock on the window behind him, and he nearly dropped the letter as he whirled around. Geoffrey stuck his head in the door.
2 minutes, the security guard said to Mission.
He jabbed his thumb over his shoulder.
I'm just waiting on his tray.
Mission bobbed his head as the door was pulled shut. The other boys looked at him curiously.
Delivery,
Mission explained to Bradley, loud enough for the others to hear. He pulled his pack closer and hid the envelope behind it. The boys went back to their scribbling. Bradley frowned and watched the others. Mission studied the envelope again. 2 minutes. How long would he have with Rodney? He tickled to the corner of the sealed flap. The milk paste the crow had used didn't stick very well to the months-old, maybe years-old, dried glue from before. He worked one corner loose without glancing down at the envelope. Instead, he watched Bradley as he disobeyed the third cardinal rule of porting, telling himself this was different, that this was two old friends talking and he was just in the room with them, overhearing. Even so, his hands trembled as he pulled the letter out. He glanced down, keeping the note hidden. Purple and red string lay strewn in with the dark grey of cheap paper. The writing was in chalk. It meant the words had to be big. White powder gathered in the folds as it shivered loose from the words like dust falling from old pipes.
Soon, soon, the mama bird sings. Take flight, take flight.
Part of an old nursery rhyme. Beat your wings, Mission whispered silently, remembering the rest, a story about a young crow learning to be free. Beat your wings and fly away to brighter things. Fly, fly, with all your might. He started to check the back for a real note, something beyond this fragment of a rhyme, when someone banged on the window again. Several of the other boys dropped their charcoals, visibly startled. One boy cursed under his breath. Mission whirled around to see Jeffrey on the other side of the glass, a covered meal tray balanced on one palm, his bald head jerking impatiently. Mission folded the letter up and stuffed it back in the envelope. He raised his hand over his head to let Jeffrey know he'd be right there, licked one finger and ran it across the sticky paste, resealing the envelope as best he could. Good luck, he told Bradley, even though he had no clue what the kid thought he was doing. He dragged his pack off the table, was careful to wipe away the chalk dust that had spilled, and hurried out of the conference room. Let's go, Jeffrey said, clearly annoyed. Mission hurried after him. He glanced back once at the window, then over at the noisy crowd jostling against the temporary barriers by the door. An IT tech approached the crowd with a computer, wires coiled neatly on top, and a woman reached out desperately from behind the barrier, like a mother yearning for her baby. Since when did people start bringing their own computers up? He asked, his profession having made him curious about how things got from there to here and back again. It felt as though this was yet another loop the porters were being cut out of. Roker would have a fit. Yesterday, Wyke decided he wouldn't be sending his techs out to fix them anymore. Says it's safer this way. People are being robbed out there, and there's not enough security to go around. They were waved through the gates and wound in silence through the hallways, every office full of clacking sounds or people arguing. Mission saw electrical parts and paper strewn everywhere. He wondered which office Rodney was in and why nobody else was having their food delivered. Maybe his friend was in trouble. That was it. That would make sense of everything. Maybe he had pulled one of his stunts. Did they have a holding cell on 34? He didn't think so. He was about to ask Jeffrey if Rodney was in the pen when the old security guard stopped at an imposing steel door. Here. He held the tray out to Mission, who stuck the letter between his lips and accepted it. Jeffrey glanced back, blocked Mission's view of the door's keypad with his body, and tapped in a code. A series of clunks sounded in the jamb of the heavy door. Fucking right Rodney was in trouble. What kind of holding cell was this? The door swung inward. Jeffrey grabbed the tray and told Mission to wait there. Mission still had the taste of milk paste on his lips as he watched the security chief step inside a room that seemed to go back quite a way. The lights inside pulsed as if something was wrong. Red warning lights, like a fire alarm. Jeffrey called out for Rodney while Mission tried to peek around the guard for a better look. Rodney arrived a moment later, almost as if he were expecting them. His eyes widened when he saw Mission standing there. Mission fought to close his own mouth, which he could feel hanging open at the sight of his friend. Hey! Rodney pulled open the heavy door a little further and glanced down the hallway. What are you doing here?
Good to see you too, Mission said.
He held out the letter. The Crow sent this.
Ah, official business.
Rodney smiled. You're here as a porter, eh? Not a friend? Rodney smiled, but Mission could see that his friend was beat. He looked as if he hadn't slept for days. His cheeks were sunk in, dark rings under his eyes, and there was the shadow of a beard on his chin. Hair that Rodney had once taken pains to keep in style had been chopped short. Mission glanced into the room, wondering what they had him doing in there.